And here we go. Snakes, Rats, and Goats, Season 31, Episode 1.
Isn't it Episode 2? All right, go ahead.
It's our podcast Episode 2, but we're talking about Episode 1.
Okay, I'm easily confused.
That voice you heard is my co-host,
Scott Chernoff.
And this is this voice you hear is Ryan Elder.
It was like leaving an outgoing voicemail thing at work.
Exactly.
Scott Chernoff.
Agent.
Exactly.
So,
hi,
Scott,
Ryan.
We finally got to see an episode of this season.
Oh my God. I'm on fire.
It was so good, too.
I've been waiting to talk to you about this.
I know.
It was epic. I think one of the best season openers.
Yeah, it's up there with Heroes ever. Villains for me.
Like, Heroes really Villains good. Was, yeah, Pearl Islands.
Oh, Pearl Islands.
I'm also a big fan of Amazon first episode, but yeah, this was definitely one of the best.
Really, really good. Really surprising Final Tribal for me.
Oh, man. Who could have called it? I mean, that's the thing. We did our preseason episode, and it's like it all just goes out the window.
I know.
who would have guessed Vetus? And, like, you know, just also just, oh, my God, it's just so brutal. It's like, okay, they're starting out, just cut them off at the knees.
Yeah, I mean,
If it was Abby, like, you would have been like, okay, makes sense. And this, not that this doesn't make sense for some players, it's just like, whoa, okay, we're starting right out of the gate. And that, excuse me, I'm losing my voice. And that's what's so exciting for me, is we finally get to see the dynamics of how these players are together and whose stories are really being told. But I've interrupted you 5 times.
No, that's okay.
So go ahead.
I don't recall you interrupting me, but we'll continue. So we got this episode, and man, the beginning, it's so great the way that they did it, this beginning with them rowing out on their boats. And I don't think that, I mean, it seemed like they had no idea who the tribes were, right?
Are you talking about the marooning, or are you talking about the whole gamble with the walking through the temple and the town?
Oh, I mean, that's cool. Yeah, of course they don't.
I also thought that was cool. And like, I really appreciated that in the past, it just would have been a whole segment of them walking through the temple. I liked how they mixed it in with confessionals and setting the scene.
I thought of China when they go to that temple.
Yeah.
And there's the Christian woman, I can't remember her name.
I know.
Who doesn't want to go in there. All I can remember from that scene in China was Courtney's boots. So that's about it. And the woman
boots.
Who didn't want to pray.
I don't remember Courtney's boots.
Oh, man, they were like thigh-high boots. And both, this is before I knew how it worked, but my wife and I were like, you're going on Survivor. Why would you wear those boots? But now I know that they dress
they
for that way.
They dress. By that point, they were dressing them. But
yeah, but I think that's just like so funny to do that to the contestants, like put them in these crazy clothes that are just like completely impractical for the beach.
And then she turned out to be the greatest. But I was thinking about Courtney because she was such a great character in China. And then we didn't get any of those confessionals really. Maybe a few of those trademark hilarious Courtney confessionals in Heroes versus Villains. And it's because she ended up being a non-factor in the game as opposed to the runner-up in China.
Right.
And so that's, I know we want to go through the episode. We've got a lot to talk about, but like that's one of the things I would like to talk about.
Confessional
tonight.
Count. Yeah.
Confessional count or just whose stories were being told, because you can instantly tell in these all-star seats. It's harder to tell when it's all new players, for me at least.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You see the all-star seasons and you see which players are getting the most airtime and which ones aren't, including some who in past seasons, like a Courtney, were, you know, major factors or major presences in the show.
Like Cass was barely in this episode.
It's really telling.
Yeah,
you know?
It's interesting. I think the people that they tended to focus on the most were the people who were telling the second chance story the best, at least in this first few days. The people who are either doing the same thing they did on their season, or the people that maybe were adapting and changing. So we got a little bit of Spencer, you know, it seems like he's saying, okay, I need to make these changes, and he's actually making them.
Well, that's an interesting theory, because you're going off of they're trying to tell the second chance story, and that's why we're seeing these people. Whereas I automatically assume these are the players who are going to have a major part in the story going forward.
It's possible that it's both, you know, like they probably could have told that story, that second chance story, about all of them.
Right. I mean, I'm probably, hopefully, perhaps wrong as well, because there have been winners and who, you know, barely had a presence in the first episode.
Natalie
White.
Yes, and the most famous one is the Australia
dog didn't bark.
Yes, the dog that didn't bark.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So, whether or not these are the people who are going to win, these are the people whose stories they're. That we were really seeing, and Spencer was one of them. But I came away from it thinking, wow, Kelly Wentworth, who we both knew was set up perfectly to win this season. Yeah. We talked about that last week.
Oh, by the way, you didn't pick a winner. I picked someone. I went out on a limb.
Oh, I didn't. I think if I honestly last week had to pick somebody, my heart would have said Jeff Varner. My brain would have said Kelly Wentworth. And interestingly, those are the two right now
really
who
seem
to be the biggest contenders. Got a lot of play, and also getting a lot of play, Joe, Jeremy, and
Steven.
Yeah, I mean, he got
a lot
some
of play.
Play
it wasn't positive play.
But it was all concentrated in one spot of the show.
Right. Yep.
To my memory. Whereas there are certain people who were spread out. Abby obviously was also one of them.
Yeah.
But
I would
we
say
were
that
led
Shireen,
to believe that was because she was going to be booted, which she wasn't.
Right.
Shireen had a strong presence.
Yep. Yep. Jeremy had that whole scene where he's rounding up Keith, talking about how he was going to make an alliance.
Yeah. Like Keith, barely a fact, barely heard from. Right?
He had a couple confessionals, but yeah.
But for Keith, Keith's like the confessional king. You know what I'm saying? Like, we barely heard from Keith, and he was entertaining as always. I mean, the person I think we heard from the least was Monica Padilla.
She got I could pull up. I saw the confessional count. I could pull it.
Okay,
up.
Can you share with me the confessional count?
I'm gonna have to find it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, while you look for it. Let us just say that we do not have a guest tonight, even though our shtick, as you put it to me in a message, is having a guest. And that's what we want to do. But again, blame me. The first few weeks of the season, we're doing this very randomly. So it's hard to book somebody for any specific time. This was literally a spur of the moment podcast late at night on Friday night.
It's 12:30 on Friday night, so another one of these. But that's all
right. I know that there was somebody on the RHAT message board who said they were tired of hearing about Scott's lack of availability. I completely sympathize. I apologize for that. However, you're going to continue to hear about it because that is the reason why we don't have a guest, and we're just going to have to be intermittent because we love talking about Survivor. We love doing this podcast.
Yeah. And so, Scott, at some point this season, do you think that you will you'll be free enough to commit to a certain time and we can start getting guests?
I think I will be. I just, you know, I like keeping you on your toes. And messaging you throughout the day about when I might be available. No, I think I will. I'm working on a script right now that is, I think there'll be a couple drafts of, but I think we'll be done with it. It's just a TV thing. So it's a half hour thing. I mean, not just a TV, you know what I mean? It's not like a feature film. So we should be done with it. I think in 2 weeks. That's my guess. Our first draft is due in a week.
Aren't you glad we need all those details?
Okay, you can cut that out if you want. The bottom line is, I think that in about 3 weeks or so, I will have that job off my plate. We will be able to set a time and book some guests.
So if you're listening to this and you are very specifically only wanting to listen to episodes where we have a guest, you can just, you know, take a break for a couple of weeks. But
and I don't blame you, because really, you know, I've been listening to a lot of Rob's podcast because I've just been so obsessed with this season. And I'm listening to him and Jenna Lewis talk about the first episode. I'm like, well, you know, what do we have to offer, really?
Yeah.
Sorry, Ryan.
Well, here's something we have to offer, a confessional count. I don't know that they talked about
let's
that.
Let's hear it.
We certainly can't go as in-depth on Survivor All-Stars as they can, but...
No.
Okay, so...
I loved it.
So everyone got at least two confessionals except for two people. That would be Monica Padilla and Terry Dietz. They only got one each.
Interesting. Terry, I felt like, at least had more of a presence in the episode. That might have just been because he was on the tribe that went to tribal council.
Didn't he also have that whole scene where he talks to Joe and he like basically talks about how his daughters love Joe? Wasn't that Terry?
No, that was
Andrew Savage. Okay.
That was Savage.
Then I don't know what Terry was doing.
I mean, Terry had the scene with Spencer.
Right. Yes. Okay.
Where he bonded with Spencer.
But that was more about Spencer, wasn't it?
Yes,
than
it was.
It was about Terry. Yeah.
So what that tells us is maybe that Terry isn't going to be a big factor in the story, even if he lasts long. I don't know.
Yeah, that could be.
It's hard to make those judgments, of course, because like we said, there are people.
In the past, they've left people out on purpose.
And I would love for them to fool us again.
I would love it too if Monica Padilla, like we expect, makes it very far.
I'd be happier if somebody else besides Monica, no offense, Monica, was the one who made it really far and surprised us.
Well, some people are going to make it far. So
yes.
There's so many great people on this cast. The final six, whatever, is bound to be good no matter what. So the people who got more than two are Stephen Fishbach with three, Vetus with three, Spencer with three, Kelly Wigglesworth with three, Shireen had four.
Wow.
I think Shireen is sort of the voice of the viewer this season. Mm. She got a lot of like third person confessionals where she's commenting about other people and not talking.
Right, because that's another interesting thing is how many people's confessionals are about themselves and how many are just commenting on what's going on.
I would have to go back and do the math, but I remember at least two Shireen confessionals where she was talking about other people. Jeff Farner got five. That makes sense. He was very key to the episode. Abby got six. Makes sense. And Kelly Wentworth got seven, which is...
Wow.
More than she got in all of her entire season the first time
around. Wow. Really? How many?
I don't remember. I don't know how many she got, but I read that stat somewhere.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. And not surprising. She clearly, there was a lot going on with her that warranted that, but wow.
Course, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, pretty surprising. I mean, she was definitely the star of the episode as far as I'm concerned.
Her and Jeff, I think. Varner was on fire.
Varner was awesome.
Was amazing.
And I love what Varner's doing because he is playing so dumb. But
weird.
He's not that dumb. You know, he's like playing us as well.
That's what's weird is when he plays dumb in the confessionals because you know from his interviews preseason, he's studied every single player. And then he stands there going like, oh, my stars. I just don't know what's going on
here. Here's my theory on that. He works in TV. I think he's like – he kind of is taking the sort of the Jonathan Penner route where he's like, okay, I'm going to create a story that they can use to tell about me, right?
He's crafting his own narrative.
And his story is like, I'm an old school player. I don't know what's going on. I'm up in the shelter, right? But – really, he knows what he's doing, and he knows that he doesn't want to draw rocks on the first vote, so he's going to flip.
Right. And he especially does not want a tie on the first vote, because that's how he got off in Australia in a 5-5 tie and screwed by a really, you know, random rule that they had at the time.
Yeah.
So I don't blame him for shying away from a tie.
Here's the thing. I see... If you could guarantee that you would be the one who got credit for going to rocks, I would be like, yeah, let's go to rocks. But, you know, I would want to be the one who's like going, okay, I was going to flip, but I want to go to rocks because it's the first episode and I want to give the people some great entertainment, right? I was really hoping they would go to Rocks in the first episode.
You love going to Rocks.
It's so exciting.
I hate it.
And I think strategically it often makes sense. Now, in the first episode, it definitely does not make sense. No one should ever go to Rocks in the first
episode. I like a vote.
There's so much time to like.
I hate Rocks.
Yeah. No, you go to Rocks at 6, you know, when you guarantee if you win that, like, you're not going to win. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you can't get the other three to flip. So you just go to Rocks because if you win, you probably make final three.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. And we've talked about this.
Okay, so anyways, we should call this podcast going to Rocks or not.
Going to Rocks or not. I like a vote. I like a vote.
Yeah, anyways. so, yeah.
Well, Jeff was just, I mean, yeah, he has to be playing everybody because... He is super smart and he studied everybody. He read, you know, books about body language. I mean, he's super prepared. I believe he may feel a real element of panic, like, oh my God, I'm here and this is even crazier than I thought. So maybe he's playing that up.
I would agree with that. I bet that's the case for almost everyone. You know, I think so. Yeah. So what I found interesting about Jeff, and we can sort of use this as a transition into this idea of the old school shelter people and the new school beach people, right? I do think that he like went in there planning on not sticking with his pregame alliance, which is awesome. I don't know if he went into the game planning on it, but I think he went into tribal planning on it. But However, I did hear a little interesting story, and I don't know if you probably heard this too.
I did hear this. I assume I know what you're going to say, but
I'll just briefly describe it because probably most of our listeners know about it too. But there was a moment in that tribal, right? Like they go to change reels on the camera, right? So they get a fresh reel for voting.
Oh, so it was while they were changing.
Not allowed to talk at that point. But as soon as they come back, as soon as they come back, he like stands up and he just points at PG talks to PG and is like, the person we talked about in the ocean, are you still voting for that person? And she said, yes. And he was like, okay, great. And then like, you know, Terry apparently freaked out.
I heard that he asked PG and Kelly Wentworth.
Oh, maybe he did. I just heard PG, but.
Yeah. If their plan, yes. If they were still going to vote for who they planned on voting for.
So Terry freaks out, of course. Why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's got a pregame alliance with Jeff. What's Jeff doing? You know? So at that point, like it was
Jeff was doing the math.
Yeah, he had made up his mind.
Because it would have been a tie, and Terry, God bless him, probably didn't even occur to him. Like, oh, well, what do we do if there's a tie?
I know. God bless him indeed.
So, I mean, there's 5-5.
So this plays into a little bit of my prediction about Jeff pregame. My pregame prediction when you said you thought Jeff would do well, and I think, and now after this first episode, I'm tending to lean more towards your point of view. But I said he would play too hard right off the bat. Now, here's the thing that I love about the way he's playing is he is playing hard, but he's surrounding it with this fake idea that he isn't. That he's out of his league.
That he's just trying to keep up.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
He doesn't know what's going on.
But he is not trying to keep up. He's playing just as hard as Shireen.
I mean, the idea of him and Shireen teaming up is kind of hilarious and exciting.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about Shireen because I think Shireen is assembling a Black Widow brigade. I think Shireen and Kelly Wentworth are thick as thieves.
We didn't really see much of them together.
We didn't, but I really get the vibe that in some of the pregame stuff I read about Shireen, she's very interested in working with other women. I don't know if it's related to what happened to her on her previous season. I don't even want to say that. I don't think that it is.
But, who knows? It's a strategy for whatever reason.
But it's a good strategy because All Women Alliances routinely do very well, especially in All-Stars season, as we've seen. Or in returning seasons. So I think she's trying to get Kelly Wentworth. She's trying to get PG. And
now what happened with our PG and Jeff? Do you think that scene where they said, oh, we got to stick together, is that significant? Are they really going to be a pair? Or?
I think it was significant for this episode. I don't know about in the future.
PG looked scared the whole episode to me. I felt so bad for her.
I think she truly was a little bit in over her head.
Yeah. I'm really excited to have her back, but she just seemed.
Yeah. I mean, well, she was the target of, by the way, can we talk about the bracelet?
Oh my God. First of all, the worst bracelet in the world. I'm sorry, Abby Maria. I actually think she's beautiful, but what is that bracelet when she finally found it? Why would you think that anybody would steal that?
Well, here's the thing. You find it in. So if you find your bracelet in PG's bag, okay, you know what that tells you? PG's the only person you can trust. She's literally the only person who wouldn't have taken it and put it in her own bag.
Right. You're right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, she seemed to think PG took it.
I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. What? Why would she just take it for no reason?
Well, if she's learned anything from Philippines, she and her ex-boyfriend, so I understand, Pete Yerkowski from Philippines, he put the idol in put it in RC's bag or put the clue in Abby's. I don't remember what he did, but
I don't remember either. But
you know what I'm talking about. There was some. Yeah. He tried to stir things up by putting something in somebody's bag,
sure.
The clue or whatever.
But you wouldn't put it in your own bag.
But that's what I'm saying is if she had learned from that, she would go, oh, well, somebody's probably doing what Pete did and somebody put it in her bag. So you're right. On the other hand, like the reason PG told her makes perfect sense. I don't think PG did the best job of communicating with her because she seems scared. Mm-hmm. But like the idea of, well, there was an unmarked bag. By the way, we're all writing our names on our bags, Abby. Yours didn't have a name. So I assumed it was empty. And that's how I ended up with it. I mean, like, that's the most plausible explanation.
Yeah, it's totally reasonable explanation.
But does she think that bracelet is so amazing that somebody actually wants to steal it on day one of Survivor?
Yeah, like it's got some value once you're out there.
Yeah, I'm going to barter this.
Well, I'm going to save this till we get back. This is going to be great. I'm going to wear it to the reunion.
Wear it to the reunion, really freak her out. Or if we want to run out of rice, I can barter this.
Yeah.
With Jeff.
Or maybe PG thought they were going to do like a Pearl Islands thing and she was going to be able to use it to barter with.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, but she's nuts.
Yeah, we see on the next time on that Abby appears to not have changed a thing.
Right, and maybe that is one of the narratives that if you haven't changed, you're not going to succeed.
I think so, yeah. I really do. We'll see, and I think that's why we're getting such strong setups for these people. Like, I mean, it makes sense because if you didn't see Token Sheens, you don't know that Steven was a fish bock out of water, as he said in that season as well. And
right,
you know, so we need to see him failing to chop wood,
right?
You know,
in order to get better.
Yeah, and we'll talk
about Steven in a minute. But yeah, but like with Jeff Varner, the incident you're talking about earlier, when he stopped, you know, and said, are you guys voting for that person? Now, there has to be a good reason that doesn't make it into the show. It's not just that they're short on time because they could take something else out. That would ordinarily, I would think, be the kind of moment that would make it into the show. And all the reason that we heard about it is because apparently there were some journalists there who were allowed to witness
and
Vetus has talked about it, but everybody's talking about it. They thought it was going to be in the show and they were surprised it wasn't. Now, why wasn't it? And my only theory at this point is because, and maybe this is just wishful thinking, because Varner either goes really far and has a personal like redemption story or wins the game. And that didn't serve that story for some reason. Does that make any sense?
I think you can't you can't sell this story of Varner being like in over his head and overwhelmed by how the pace of the game by having him make like a very clear decision there. It doesn't play into his, I don't know what to do. I'm stuck between the beach people and the shelter people. As
but
much.
I loved then when he said, you know, this is my second chance. I don't want to screw it up.
Yeah.
That's, and you know, the producers love that. And that was actually apparently directly in response to that incident where Terry was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And Jeff was like, hey, this is my second chance. I don't want to screw it up. So what he was really saying apparently was, very specific. Like, I'm not going to mess up this first vote. I have to be 100% clear on what these two are doing.
Yeah. So I screw it up. Great math, because how did he know that Spencer, like, cause Vitas was very convinced Spencer was going to vote with him. So how did Jeff know?
Jeff knew.
That's amazing. And so, like,
I mean, well, somebody might have told him Spencer appears to maybe be aligned with Kelly and Shireen. So,
yeah. So it was Kelly, Shireen, Jeff, Spencer, PG, and who else?
And Abby.
Of course.
That voted for Vitas.
Yeah. So Shireen, man, if Shireen can keep Abby and Kelly and PG around, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, who knows how long Abby and PG can coexist.
I know. Well, I mean, they could coexist until we get a shuffle, if we get one.
Right, which will probably happen very soon.
I think, it's going to...
So we're...
If the rumors... Well, I don't want to get into the rumors.
I don't want to get into the rumors, but somehow I've been unable to avoid that rumor.
Yeah, me too.
Everybody talks about it. I don't know anything about who goes far or anything like that. I just heard, you know, rumors about an early tribe shuffle.
Yeah. And I mean, who knows if they're true?
It would make sense. It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
And Jeff Probst has even said in interviews, like, we don't want them to get too comfortable. We're going to shift things around.
I would love it if they went to three tribes at 18. Brains, Bronze, Beauty.
I think that's the going.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens. I don't know if it will for sure, but it'd be great because three tribe seasons are awesome.
I also heard some rumor that they would open with a double eviction, and I'm glad that they didn't. I think that would have been really stupid for the show as well, which is probably why
they did that one season, right? At least Palau, didn't they do that in Palau?
Well, that wasn't really a double evict. That was three people left that night because there were two who technically didn't get voted. They had to get voted into the show or chosen in a schoolyard pick. It was brutal.
That is the worst.
Those two didn't make it into the game, quote unquote. I mean, they were there for a one night.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the episode, they voted out Jolanda. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard when you think about who's the first boot from that season. It's hard to say who it was.
Right. All right.
That's another story.
Yeah. Couple other moments that stuck out for me was when Savage chops the tree down. But I have a feeling that was used just to show how lame Steven was more than anything.
Was it Savage who did that?
It was. And it was Savage, like, it was like a dead tree.
Didn't get a lot of, you know, time either. Doesn't seem to be a big factor. Also doesn't seem to have changed a single bit.
Nope.
Not physically.
Tribe unity.
Mentally. It's like the exact same. Like, I think they might have used footage of him from Pearl Island.
Yeah.
Talking about CG'd him in. Talking about teamwork and
I think he
actually family.
Didn't he call Spencer Rupert at one point? he only had two confessionals as well, but he got that little bit with Joe.
But that again was about Joe.
It was about Joe.
I was
absolutely
really surprised at the Joe, because I went into this.
Joe didn't change at all either.
He didn't change at all, but it's so recent.
It almost feels like he's doubling down.
I know. Like, we were watching it, my wife was like, no, Joe, because my wife likes Joe, you know, and she's more of a casual fan of the show. So she's like, oh, he's really nice. And he, like, jumps off the boat or anything he would do, or even when he used his long, hard pull to, you know, get it off or whatever Probst was talking about.
Yeah.
She was like, no, Joe, don't, because she didn't want him to keep drawing attention to himself.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. But, like, what?
But I was also just surprised at the amount of airtime he got, because I assumed he wasn't going to go very far in the game. But
well, I think he's going to make it to like one before the merge or one after the merge, don't you think?
I don't know. I'll just say he was way more of a part of the episode than I expected.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just because he's a currently popular player, but I have to think that it's because he's going to be a presence on the show.
So, yeah, I think, again, this sort of overarching narrative of this episode is who has changed and who hasn't. Who is fixing what they did wrong the first time and who isn't.
Mm-hmm. But Joe did talk about fixing what he did wrong.
Yeah, he talked about it, but
what did he say he was going to change?
Yeah, I don't know.
His
But his social game doesn't need fixing.
But I don't remember him saying, like, I'm not going to be great at everything.
Yeah.
There's something.
He had some angle, but I don't remember it.
He's not the most memorable
guy
in terms of personality.
Well, let's move on, because I want to talk about someone who also appears to have not changed. And she's gone the longest time.
Uh-huh.
And that'd be Kelly Wigglesworth. She seems like she just came into the game ready to just be a physical threat and be a provider.
She's playing Survivor Borneo.
That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah.
Does it seem like that to you? I mean, she jumped off the front of the boat right away and was like, I'm going to swim there. I'm going to beat everyone.
Right.
And then she wants to be the one who does who uses her long, hard pull to get the key for redemption or whatever. And she fails. And, and I don't think she's going anywhere based on the way her tribe reacted to that.
Right. They all seem to like her, respect her.
Yeah.
I mean, but then again, she's in the minority on the tribe right now.
Right.
Well, we knew going into this, and we knew from Borneo, that Kelly isn't the most strategic player. And that it's not even that she's not capable of it. She got herself in an alliance in Borneo, a winning alliance, but she's not interested in it. You know what I mean? That's not really the game she wanted to play. And she made it clear then, like, I'm in this alliance. I really don't like this style of gameplay. And now she's there again. And it appears, at least from what we've seen, that she's not that interested. But she was supposedly part of the Shane conference call pregame alliance.
Yeah, I think she's into alliances. I don't think that's an issue for her. She wasn't on the right side of the numbers. Doesn't mean they can't change that around. In fact, I could see Varner and PG bouncing back to the other side to get rid of one of the threats from Shireen's alliance, like a Spencer or something, in the next episode.
Yeah. I would think if they're targeting Vetus, they should be targeting Spencer, too. I mean, he's a major threat.
Yeah. For the very same reasons as Vetus, in my opinion.
If anything, he's more of a threat because he's more likable.
Yeah. Yeah. So will we get a scene of Spencer doing creepy yoga next episode? What if everyone who gets voted out has a creepy yoga scene? You just know
or
as soon as that
they have a scene that's contrasted with Joe.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And then the other tribe, somebody's doing
Joe
it.
Joe shares the coconut water and Spencer hoards coconut water. And he gets
it's all going to be in relation to Joe.
Yeah.
Well, somebody else who we didn't get to see very much of, but I really wonder if she's changed anything as Kimmy.
Yeah, that's we didn't see a lot of Kimmy, but Kimmy got a very positive edit, in my opinion. She got to be the one who calls out Steven for looking for an idol. And she seemed like she's getting along with people.
Yeah.
In a way that was very uncharacteristic for Kimmy, at least.
Now, that whole tribe we didn't see as much of.
Probably
because they weren't going to tribal and there was no time between immunity and tribal to go back to that camp. So in terms of the editing, like, we had to see it all
Yeah,
before.
So, you know, but the only person on that tribe who had more than two confessionals was Steven, and he only had three.
I'm surprised about that because I came away from the episode feeling like we saw a lot of Jeremy. And yeah, I
liked only had two confessionals. We did see that scene where he's walking with Keith, which was basically only him talking. So it's sort of like a confessional.
Right. I really like Jeremy, and we talked about last week that we're sort of worried about him, and I came out of this thinking like he might be around a while. I'm not saying he's gonna win, yeah. but I was surprised he only had two because I felt like he was one of the major characters in the premiere.
You know, the more I look at these confessional numbers, the more I think they're a byproduct of who was booted and Kelly finding the idol.
Well, that definitely Kelly and the idol.
Like, I don't...
You wouldn't have seven if it wasn't for that.
No, that's true. And so I don't think that it necessarily is telling us anything about the winner or even the final three. The entire final three could be on the tribe that didn't go to tribal.
Yeah.
You remember in Cagayan, there was a ton of stuff with the Brains tribe because they were the ones always going to tribal. We need to know who they are. They're the ones voting for each other.
Right.
So it's very possible the winner could be someone who, you know, Monica Bedia, Tasha, Kimmy.
Well, I or my, going into
my boy
it,
Keith.
Going into it, yeah, that's your pick. You're insane. Going into it, I thought Monica was like set up the same way Kelly Wentworth was, just in terms of being a non-threat who could make it to the end, a la Amber, etc. But we saw so little of her that I can't imagine.
Yeah, if we look back to last season, Mike just got such over-the-top moments on the very first episode.
I mean, like, I could be wrong. It's happened before, but I feel like in this all-star season, if she's the winner, like, don't they want to spend a little bit more time on her establishing who she is? Because most of us don't know who she is.
Yeah.
Whereas Kelly Wentworth, most of us don't know who she is, but they did spend the time establishing who she was. Like, I really tried to pay attention to who got confessionals in the first, you know, in the cold open. And by the way, they showed the full opening theme. So that was really exciting.
That was great.
I was like, this whole season is like a love letter to the fans. It's a thank you to the fans. And they're like, okay, fine. We'll give you your opening theme.
Yeah. Well, I think
it'll only be once.
Yeah. It's only going to be once.
But that's okay. They didn't do it at all the last few years.
It was nice to see it once, right?
It was great. But there were people who got confessionals in that first 10 minutes who, and then there are the people who didn't. So that was interesting. No, I didn't write it down, but like, I know that Varner was in there, Jeremy, Sierra was in there, and, you know, the fact, and of course, Kelly Wigglesworth was the first one, Spencer, Joe, but Kelly Wentworth was in there and clearly the least known of all of those people.
Yeah.
And
yeah, now that
they spent the time to set her up. So right away, before the idol came into play, and I don't think it was just about the idol, I was like, we've had the vibe going into this season for whatever reason. Whatever our prejudice or preconceived notions about the way these seasons go are, I think a lot of people, we're not unique, have seen her as a potential winner before they even went out to the island, you know? Mm-hmm. And seeing her featured so heavily in the cold open, I was like, yeah.
You know, I really think, though, they loved that, and this is a great transition to her finding the idol. Because it was so new, the idol at the challenge, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here because I basically agree with you. I do think that Kelly plays a big part in the season. But that being said, this her finding the idol was such an important moment, right? You want fans to root for her and go, get the idol, grab that idol
right
in that moment. So we need to know who she is and we need to care whether or not she gets the idol or not. So showing her a lot leading up to that makes a lot of sense editing wise. mm-hmm. because fans don't know who she is really, although enough knew who she was to vote her back in.
Right.
So it's very possible that it all could have just been about that idol. Now, people who find idols that early tend to go fairly far unless they get voted out with the idol in their backpack. Or even back at camp in the case of what's his name, the poker player from Cagayan.
Oh, Sean Robert.
The big muscly guy who was on Brains.
That dude, Garrett.
Yeah. Garrett, yeah. He left it back at
camp.
I was
like, Jean Robert, did he have an idol? He left it back at camp.
So I mean, yeah, I hope Kelly Wentworth goes far because I do like her, and I think I'm excited to see more from her. But it is possible that she got all those confessionals and all that editing so that we would care when she found the idol.
Yeah, you make a good point. I think it might be both. That's my... The vibe I got
having
watched 30 seasons of this show, the vibe I got was that we were also being set up. Like, there are people that we were set up just enough to see, like, Vetus and Abby being for getting voted off.
You know what it reminds me of, actually, is Carolyn last season. First episode, she finds the idol.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets this really great edit, and we're all like, all of us are on the Carolyn train after the first episode, right? Like, oh, right. She played a great game. You know, we both said that she got loud, right?
Probably.
So it's possible that Kelly makes it to the end, but this idol, I think, is going to be important. They usually are.
Well, and what an amazing moment. I mean,
I know. That's, so great.
That's such great TV.
Yes. I was like, that thing looks huge in the shot they showed of it from like underneath. I was like, that thing looks giant. How can she possibly hide that? But then when she grabbed it, it wasn't that big at all.
Well, it made the whole challenge like so much more exciting.
As
somebody who isn't that into the challenges all the time, sometimes I am, but you know, you had two things going on. So dramatically, it was amazing.
Oh, so good.
Go ahead.
You know, the producers were like, grab it, come on.
Oh, yeah. Everybody is rooting. And the way she kept looking back. And you can put yourself in her place. Like, it looks like I can get away with this, but what if I don't?
Yeah.
What if somebody notices me? I mean, the whole concept of hiding it, the challenge is amazing. Yeah, and
it only
next
takes
level.
One wrong person noticing you, and it's over for you.
And it appeared as though nobody did.
I don't think anyone did. And why would they? Why would anyone be looking backwards?
It was great. Right. And they're all focused on what's going on. So it's the perfect setup to get it.
Yeah, it was great.
And it was placed in a perfect spot because it was close enough where she could.
Yeah. Anyone who found that clue could have made the effort to get it. You didn't have to be one of the strong people on the corner of the raft.
Right.
Like you didn't have to like maneuver yourself into that specific corner and be at the right place at the right time because of that whole thing. Is like perfectly planned out. They're like, okay, someone's going to be able to get this while everyone else is focusing on the key.
Well, and also somebody found the clue in the first place.
Right, right, right. I wonder if the idol is even there if no one finds the clue.
I have read that it is not.
Ah, interesting.
That they don't bother hiding they didn't bother hiding a second one. Now, what if it made me wonder? Oh, it was only on. They had their own thing, right?
Yeah, each side.
Okay, because so I was going to say, what if somebody from the other tribe just accidentally stumbled, found it?
I think they should have allowed for an accidental finding, even though no one found the clue.
Yeah, maybe
because
they.
What kind of drama would that create?
Oh, my God. It'd be amazing.
Or even better, just like put it on a little hook. And like have a little machine, like a little radio that like unhooks it and it just falls to the ground. So we'd be like, what's that?
Well, at some point as this evolves, they should just put it in plain sight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
the problem with that though, is you get what happened in Blood versus Water 1 where people just like burn it. They don't want it. Everyone knows about it, it's not worth having.
Yeah.
And one of the interesting things...
Well, that was a weird situation. That was very strange.
It was really strange, and it was...
The way they'd always be sitting in that arena, so it was hard to...
You knew who had the clue. Yeah, it's bad. Yeah. It's bad to have it when everyone knows. You know, one of the things that in a recent Rob Has a Podcast, they talked about statistically, is it better? Do people who do one of three things with the idol do better than the other two things, right? And it was, you know, keep the idol for yourself and don't tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Tell only a couple people or only one person.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was it tell everyone?
It's got to be tell everyone is the other choice. Yeah. See, my instinct as if I were playing would be the first thing. Don't tell a soul.
Right.
But I'm curious statistically what the answer is.
People have done better by sharing it with one or two people.
Interesting.
And it makes sense to me because it's better as a social tool than it is. It only saves you for one vote if you just use it for yourself. But if you
Tyson and Boston Rob are the two I can think of who didn't tell anybody.
Right, right. You look at Natalie from Blood vs. Water 2. She shared it with Baylor, used it to build trust with Baylor so she could use it to backstab Baylor.
Mm.
Russell often showed it to people, and it worked very well for him.
To an extent. Tony, I guess, what did he do? He kept a secret for a while, yeah, and he told everybody
people
he had
about
one.
The normal one that he had, but he never really told anyone about the Tyler Perry idol. He told them he had a special thing.
I thought he said he had an idol with special powers.
He might not have. I don't know if he said it was an idol. I just remember
I think
that's what it was. Yeah, and no one knew what the powers were. So he shared it with almost everyone, and that worked wonders for him. But that special powers. Power idol, man, that puts the fear of God in you. Because you don't know if you can take a shot at him.
Right. And nobody knew what the special powers were.
And then he didn't even have to say that he couldn't use it all the way until the final four.
Yeah, he said he could keep using it.
I know. That's genius.
I love that guy.
I know. Tony is the greatest. So I think Kelly, you know, I want to see Kelly show Shireen or someone that she hopes that she can trust to build that trust with that person.
Well,
we'll see what happens.
It was awesome watching it all unfold. And also the way she found this obviously contrasted with Steven, who we should talk about next. But the way that she found the clue,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
was not only it was portrayed very positively.
Oh, yeah.
It did appear smart that she's leaving like coconuts in the path and stuff like that.
Yep. So, by the way, can we just. I'm sick of these scenes and I'm going to get on my soapbox here, but
I'm sick of these
scenes. We come back from a commercial. We see someone walking around looking for the idol, talking about how they want to find the idol.
You
so
immediately
obviously they're
know it's them.
Freaking find it.
And then as if it's not obvious enough, then you hear the music kick in at a certain point and you're like, okay,
I miss this sort of, I want like a, genius fans will know what I'm talking about, but I want like a hide the info from us, and then at the end, right before she's about to play the idol, go, you know, 3 days earlier, and then show the scene of her finding the idol. Mm-hmm. You know, like give me some mystery. You know,
or somewhere. I would love to see a thing where people are hunting for the idol, and there's some mystery if they found it right up until the moment they pull it out.
Right.
And
yeah,
we
well,
just
the
don't
music
know.
Is usually what really gives it away there. I don't know.
Well, but
I mean
the moment they pulled out at Tribal.
Oh,
Council.
Yeah. Well, that they did that so once, right? Didn't Amanda find an idol and they didn't? They
yeah,
didn't
in Micronesia, did they not tell us that she
yeah,
had
yeah. it? Yeah, I don't think that that's great, but I don't know. There's got to be something. It's just the way they edit it. Just it's
but
always
we did
noticeable.
See Stephen walking around looking for an idol and he didn't win one.
Are you talking about?
He didn't find one.
You're talking about Stephen?
Steven.
Yeah, but it was obvious from the way that it was edited that he wasn't
was
going to.
The music again.
Yeah,
for Steven,
it's
was
the
like
music,
a comical
man.
Music.
It's got to be
it's
the
that
music.
Comical music that says this guy is a dodo and you should, or you know this guy is a whatever.
Dodo music, absolutely. Like, it's the music.
I
that
feel
gives
like
it
I
away.
Stole dodo from somebody. That
yeah,
I heard
it's
say.
A common.
Okay.
In a Survivor fandom parlance to call that dodo
okay.
music.
Well, yeah,
or country Dumbo music is the other.
Country Dumbo
is the other one.
I haven't heard any of that, but oh my God, let's talk about Steven. Oh, my heart was breaking.
I'm holding out hope that
they're setting us up for a turnaround.
I'm holding out hope that he finds his JT,
as he said.
But who let's talk about his candidates for his JT.
Game.
No, it isn't. You're right. No, it isn't. You're right. It's absolutely not. And in that respect, he probably is going to fail.
Well, I mean, 19 of them are going to fail. So
let's talk about his potential.
Doesn't say anything about Steven.
Yeah.
You know, he played a great game in Token Genes, and we knew he was going into this that he's at a disadvantage. And then the tribe he's put on.
Yeah, terrible. He's not with
terrible
a few new school people. And the ones that he is with are, like, probably not trusting of him. Like, he really needed to be with Spencer and Shireen. I think those are his two biggest peeps.
And Kelly.
Yeah. So let's just talk about who are the candidates for if he does find his JT this season, which I don't think he does. But who are his candidates? You know, let's just go off his current tribe. We got Joe. Joe is like JT extreme, right?
Yeah, but I don't see that happening.
I agree.
I don't know why. I don't see it happening.
Andrew Savage, is he a JT? I mean, he's got the sort of thing, but Steven could work with him, but he can't win.
Andrew, Steven's not the kind of player that Andrew gravitates to.
Yeah.
Remember, Andrew wanted skinny Ryan out immediately. And yet he felt like Austin was the perfect person to go with. So, you know, his judgment is skewed toward the alpha male type.
Yeah.
You know, or at least visible, the physically alpha male type.
So who's left? Who's
Keith?
Our...
Could Keith be his JT?
I was just gonna say Keith, or possibly. Well, I don't think Jeremy wants to work with Steven. Otherwise, I'd say maybe Jeremy. But
Jeremy's too smart.
I think Keith and Steven would make a great team.
That would be great. It would be like Rob.
Keith is like old JT.
it would remind me a little bit of Rob Sesternino and Matthew in the Amazon.
Right, yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Steven's
the brains.
Right, and the other person is just like not even in the loop of how the game works.
Sharpening the machete the whole time.
I don't know. I mean, Wu potentially could be Steven's.
Yeah, I mean, they're just not in the same tribe currently, but it could happen.
Currently, but they could get there. They could bond
like
about
Wu's
being
edit.
Runners up.
I do not like Wu's edit at all. Wu is another guy who just like clearly is not adjusting. And he's playing the same game.
Yeah, and he didn't seem to be a big factor.
He even had the exact same look on his face. It's like they CG'd him from Kageyan when Cliff gets blindsided in. It was the same like shot.
He never knows what's going to
happen. I know. Wu is just a classic floater. Like
he's wooing it up.
Yeah. I mean, he could get second place again for that very
reason.
Right.
He could go with Steven to the end.
Yeah. In that case, I think Steven might win.
Right. Steven could potentially win against Wu. But Wu was...
Well, here's the thing. If Steven
was
makes
on
it
the,
to the end, he can beat almost anyone.
You think?
I think so because...
Well, it depends on what happens.
Everyone's going to gun for him.
Yeah, it just depends. It's too soon, I think,
obviously,
to say that because it depends what happens over the course of the game. If somebody is such a standout, they could win.
All right. But
I was just going to say Wu didn't appear to be a big factor in the game. Yeah. And
it seemed like he was just the same old Wu.
Same old Wu.
But, I mean, he didn't win, but he got a great edit. And he was like a fan favorite. So sometimes you go in and you're like, okay, I don't think Wu cares about winning as much. So for him, he is not incentivized to change his game because he got a lot of what he wanted from his first season.
Now, what about, we talked about her already and her insanity, but Abby, like, is she, you think she's going to be taken far in the game?
I don't see why not.
Okay, let's get off Abby. That's all I wanted to know from you and talk about a few people we haven't talked about at all.
All right.
Who has not come up?
Sierra Easton didn't come up.
That's who I was going to say. We have not spoken at all about Sierra.
I think we've covered almost everyone else, at least tangentially. We mentioned Kimmy. Oh, we didn't talk about Tasha either. Let's talk about Sierra and Tasha.
Yeah.
I think they're just like, they didn't get in there very much because, well, Tasha got a good thing at the beginning, right? Where she got a great line where she's like, I'll backstab and ask for forgiveness later.
Yeah. Whatever. I'll pray for forgiveness.
Yeah. Such a great line. And like such a, I mean, that's like possibly a winner's edit moment, you know,
not totally. It's also the same basic, point of view from Vesepia, who won years ago, but except when Vesepia said it, it kind of came off as like hypocritical or self-righteous, whereas with Tasha it was sort of playful.
It was playful and it showed growth, right? Like it showed her willing to really actually make a change.
Right. So she's somebody whose game is progressing.
Yeah. Now Sierra, I mean, we don't know. She was just not there. We don't really know if her game has progressed or is the same because she was barely in the episode.
Right. And she would,
like, even less than
what tribe she's on. But yeah,
I would say like Sierra and Monica were like tied for the least seen.
Yeah. We barely saw Sierra except that she was one of the people established very early on in the show.
Right.
Definitely take note of that. Now, we talked a little bit about her, but what about Cass? Because from what we saw, is she changing anything? She's talking about having to change the perception of herself. Does that count as changing her approach?
The thing about Cass is that in the beginning of her first game, she wasn't like a crazy person. You know what I mean? She was like totally fine until the merge where she like
all of a sudden
where it seems like she just like, that's when she flipped the switch. So it's possible she could do that again, but I think she's like she's trying to be under the radar, which makes a lot of sense. She has to be.
She has to be.
Yeah.
But she was so under the radar that again, I didn't get the sense she was going to make a big impact on the season.
From what I understand, there's a secret scene that involves Cass. I haven't watched it yet, but where she's connecting with Joe. On a personal level of some kind. So I have to watch it. I apologize. I didn't watch it, but
you should be sorry.
I know. There's just so much Survivor media to catch up on.
I know. I've been bathing in it. Whenever I have a spare moment, you know, I'm in between things.
10 podcasts and 400 articles. And
I haven't listened. I've listened to some of the Rob podcast stuff in my car. And then articles I'm reading whenever I can. I'm just usually in seasons it takes me a little while to become obsessed with it, and it never happened at all last season.
Yeah.
Coming out of last season, which it's still Survivor, so it's still great, but this I'm already, and part of it is a function of it being All Stars, and I get pumped up for those seasons, and one of the reasons is because we already know everybody, so I can just jump right in.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a big help, yeah.
You know, but yeah. I wouldn't say that I was jumping out of my chair after the first episode of Kara Moen. You know, it's not just because it's All Stars. I think it was really good, and I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, it was good. I'm excited.
Going forward, I just want to say, like, I'm Team Varner all the way.
So you think he's going to win?
I'm not saying I think he's going
to
win.
Well,
I hope
need to pick a winner, and you get the benefit of having a whole episode to base it on.
Oh, I have to pick a winner?
Well, I picked one.
I'll go with Kelly Wentworth. I'm still going with Kelly, but my heart, I'm rooting for Jeff Varner.
Can I switch mine? Since you got
sure.
the whole episode.
I'm not holding you to any.
My winner, my new winner pick.
You know, you could change it every week
I've thought of this. Okay, if you're going to let me switch it, this is my official winner pick.
Yeah.
All right, I've thought about it a lot, watched the whole episode, and it's still Keith Nail. He's going to do it.
Oh, man, you faked me out. You're still convinced of this.
Hell no, I don't know who's going to win. I like how he's positioned, though. Like, he almost won before, and he's just, like, never going to be a threat. There's no reason to vote him out.
I don't think he's going anywhere for a while.
He's exactly the kind of person that if you can get him to trust you, you can trust him. And he's going to get taken to the end by someone who's pissed a lot of people off.
Yeah, but maybe I'm too hung up on the edit. But, like, you know, when you looked at San Juan del Sur at the very beginning, there was a lot of Keith, and he was always talking about, like, you know, hey, I don't really know much about this game, but maybe this old country boy is going to teach everybody. Yeah. You know, whatever the heck the quotes were, you know, there was some sort of like
seeds
planted that like, hey, Keith is a major player this season. His son is not. And Keith is going to go very far. That was my impression from the very beginning, because there was a lot of talk about like, can Keith get into the swing of this game, and that I don't think we would have seen
about,
if he was
the thing about Keith's game is he doesn't need to be proactive in any way, shape, or form, because nobody's going to actively want him out.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think you make some very cogent points. I just think that the winner is probably going to be end up being somebody who actually didn't go through the game passively.
Yeah, here's a big strike against Keith based on this edit. If we assume this idea that the person who wins makes changes or adjusts their game in a way that allows them to win, is shown having shown grown from their previous loss season, then Keith in this edit did not get that. He basically straight up said, I'm going to do the same things I did last time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't see much reason to switch things up. You know, like and in that sense, like, I don't know that they would show him saying that if he was the winner.
Right. They would choose a very different edit.
On paper, I love his positioning.
Like, if he didn't go further than Wes last time, we wouldn't have seen all that talk about, you know, I'm going to go farther than Wes. Right. We would have seen the opposite.
Well, sometimes
Wes.
Yeah, I mean, Keith wasn't painted as this arrogant Drew Christie.
No.
Who was talking shit.
Right.
But sometimes you get
this downfall.
Whenever someone says, I'm definitely going to do this, it often means that episode they fail.
Well, even though I was still surprised to see Vitas go, as soon as he had his quote of, you know, we're perfectly positioned unless somebody does something stupid.
Right.
I still don't really know. He didn't do something specifically stupid, but
he wasn't talking about him.
He wasn't talking about himself, but he, you know, that was an indication to me that, at the very least, they were not as perfectly positioned as he thought.
Yeah. Vitas. Well, how about his underpants and?
Oh my God!
His hidden immunity idol.
That was insane.
I just saw a tweet from Shireen that said, she got that from Abby, called it his hidden immunity penis.
So she adjusted it to idol.
Yeah.
I feel like the Shireen, and I didn't feel like we saw a ton of Shireen, but the Shireen that we did see last night was the Shireen we were hoping to see last time.
Yes, I love it. I'm so rooting for Shireen this season.
Always.
And I love the way she came out the gates. I'm a little concerned that targeting someone so specifically and being the person who is the one who came up with the idea of targeting that person, or at least seen that way, can really make you a target.
But how brilliant was Jeff Varner?
Oh, so good.
When somebody said, was it PG who said to him, who do you want to get rid of? And he said, well, Shireen wants to get rid of Vitas.
I watched that again, and there's an edit point there. So I don't know that that was his exact response to that question.
Really?
Because they cut. It's actually, I watched it with that specifically in mind because someone had mentioned that I read somewhere or heard somewhere. And it isn't, I'm not convinced that was his actual response to her, but that's what they edited.
Okay. Well, if that's the case again, I don't know what they're definitely creating something with Jeff.
They definitely
I say that I'm Team Varner and I'm rooting for him, I totally am, but there's probably 10 others that I'm also rooting for.
I know. It's going to be so hard.
There's not many people that I'm not rooting for.
I know. There's no one I don't like.
Right.
There's people I'm like maybe bored with, but there's no one I'm just like, I don't want to see that person win.
Well, even though I voted for her to return, like, I'm not sure I want to see Abby win.
Well, luckily,
unless
you're not
she really
going to.
Turns around the game, her own game.
Yeah, you're not going to see her win. Don't worry.
Okay, I won't
be worried.
Well, and then what about Tasha? Did we? Oh, we didn't talk about Tasha.
We didn't talk too much about Tasha. Oh,
we said that we had the.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, why don't we do our segments since that is a feature of our podcast?
That is something we can do.
Yeah, and I didn't have any dumb sound clips pulled for this episode because I just didn't know when we were going to be doing it, but I do have these.
Right.
So let's get to our first segment, and here it is.
Hold up.
All right, this is Hold Up, Bro. And this is the moment that we said, hold up, I got to watch that again.
Well, exactly, the rewind moment. You know, I thought about all of them and about the others, our other segments, and I thought about this one and I feel like I want to say the whole episode because I really savored this episode. I was so excited about it and I was not rushing through it. I was pausing it. I was rewinding it a lot. I was just, I savored the whole episode. But let me think about it. What was your,
well, I mean, I don't have anything like really obvious, but like the part that I was excited to watch again was when Jeff got hit in the head by something on the boat at the beginning.
Yeah. What happened there?
They're just like throwing fruit around, you know, and he gets hit in the head and he's like, oh, careful. People are getting hit in the head out here.
And then didn't he also like lift himself up at one point and say like, what, something just bit my ass or something?
Jeff did?
Oh, I'm talking about Jeff Varner.
You're talking about Varner. I'm talking about Jeff Probst got hit.
Oh, right. He did.
Yeah, that thing with Jeff, that was funny too with Varner.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'm always down to see Jeff Probst get hit in the head by something.
Right. Why not?
Yeah. How about Joe's long, hard pull?
That might have been a rewind moment. There was a lot of talk. It was Longhorn Paul and getting it on or something
that
like that. Or getting it
like,
in there.
It was like Jeff was like, okay, I'm really going to give him something to chew on these podcasts now. It was too easy.
Joey Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, I think one of the moments that I really did rewind, and it's not really that exciting of a moment, but Jeff Varner and PG talking in the water, there's nothing about that moment that really stands out, except I just remember going, what was just said there? I feel like something significant happened and I'm not sure what.
Yeah, it was it definitely seemed like a moment. I mean, clearly it's the moment where Jeff was like figured out what the numbers were.
Yeah,
you know, man, he's really on top of it. I
loved when he was like, this train took off and I'm glad I'm on it. It was also great when he said in tribal council, like, I don't know how much my old school players are participating in this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that those old school players are playing it old school. They just want it to be happy-go-lucky beach time until the merge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try to win those challenges. All right. Let's move on to the next segment. And here it is.
What's the time?
It's time to get ill.
What's the time?
It's time to get
ill regrets.
All right, this is ill regrets. Oh, they cut off. Anyways, who cares?
Nobody
cares. This is who do you think is going to have ill regrets about something they did, and you can't choose Vetus, even though Creepy Yoga is, he probably regrets that.
How's your body, Abby?
Yeah.
How's your body doing?
What a terrible question.
It was so smarmy. I had just called him smarmy. And I voted for Vetus to come back.
I was excited for him to come back. He got such a high strategy edit.
one of the only people that I always felt like he's got to come back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, man, that guy's so smarmy. And then Shireen called him smarmy like 2 minutes later.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
Wow. Well, what do you think? Who's got some ill regrets?
I hate to say it, but I think Shireen might have some ill regrets about how hard she's playing right away. I don't know. I get the whole new school, old school thing, but I still don't think it's like good new school game to go after a threat right away. And to be so obvious about being the one who wants that threat gone.
Okay. All right.
I hope I'm wrong, but that's my thought. I wouldn't do that. But you know, I'm no expert, so.
No, you're clearly not.
I hope to one day be an expert.
Hey, you've been on Rob Has a Podcast twice.
Oh, I guess that, yeah.
That's two more times.
Oh, yeah, the second time certainly counts. We were talking about Wanda singing.
I've never been on. I'd love to talk about Wanda singing.
All right. Anyway.
I listened to that, by the way. Well, I listened to some of it. I haven't finished it yet. I thought you were going to be talking about when you said the music of Survivor. I thought it was going to be like you're going to talk about the score.
You know, going into it, I had no idea what we were going to be talking about because it was all Shut Up Tim's thing.
Right.
But it's more the music of Rob Has a Podcast than anything else. But
right.
It's a fun, really fun episode, and we made Rob laugh a lot. So good. That's got to count for something, right?
That guy needs a good laugh. He's so serious and buttoned down.
Yeah.
Well, I think like the obvious person is Abby with her bracelet. I just don't know that she's capable of understanding that she should regret that.
Yeah.
But
well,
I'm
you know, Abby doesn't regret anything except for hitting Scoopin' in the head with a coconut.
Right. She doesn't think she should have done that, even though it looked accidental. So I'm not sure. Like the one thing she regrets.
I think she just wanted them to show that clip again.
Yeah, well, I'm with her on that.
Yeah.
That was a good clip. Like, I kind of want to say Steven, partly because we barely talked about him. Like, we both are huge Steven
fans.
Oh,
Looking for the Idol. That was a terrible.
So Looking for the Idol, and I will admit, I was listening. I'm going to just share something I heard on Rob's podcast, which was Rob said, like, and why did he go in the water? Like, he's going to come back, and everybody's going to be like, why are you all wet?
Oh, he's getting wood.
That made me laugh. The idea that, like, why? And he was in that murky, like, swamp. I mean, but going to look for the Idol, which he seemed to realize was not a good move. It's like he reverted in some weird way, and he looked, I think that he saw the tribe he drew, and it was absolutely everybody he didn't want, and all the people he wanted were on the others, and I think he was just terrified. He looked so terrified, and my heart went out to him, and I'm really hoping that this
I think he was also ill, like physically
ill.
He mentioned
he had a stomach bug or something.
So that'll screw you up.
That'll screw you up. And I'm really hoping that it is the setup for a turnaround because I love Steven.
It doesn't feel like it.
It feels like he's an early boot. And I don't want him to suffer that fate. But then again, you know, look, it happens. It happened to Rob C. And,
yeah. Well, you know. If Steven teams up with Keith and Keith is old JT,
then they could go far.
Yeah.
But then again, like you said, we said, if our theory is true, you know, that isn't him changing his game.
Yeah. Neither of them.
It also, was he like wearing long pants?
Well, I mean, he had to wear long
pants. That's what they gave him, but he looked like extra nerd. And I'm nerdy. Yeah. I know I would look terrible out there. But like the fact, something about the shirtless with long pants look is very strange.
It is weird.
There's something weird about that.
I would immediately cut those pants.
Yeah, I was going to say you could make them into cutoffs.
Yeah.
Then you look cooler.
Oh yeah.
At least that's the hope.
He looks so cool.
Well, he's never going to look super cool, but you know. it, it
I heard cut off dress pants are all the rage.
Well, but the look that he had in the dress pants and no shirt was not doing him any favors because it's such an unusual look. And look, it plays into, you know, what people are thinking about him in terms of being an outcast. Totally. But I'm going to give him the ill regrets for doing things like going to look for the idol and stuff that he should know better. And I think he will regret. And I'm hoping he course corrects pretty quickly.
Hey, you know what I just realized is no one got emotionally invested in the building of the shelter.
Right.
That's good.
We missed out on that. Well, that's good. They've all played before, so you there's know, no Dan Foley's.
They just know right away just how to build that shelter, don't they?
Although Rupert got fairly emotionally invested in building a shelter his second season.
Yeah, that was just Rupert being Rupert, though.
That was like Rupert's like Waterloo. I mean, that was like I'm trying to think of like some. Somebody who had like an epic, I'm drawing a blank, but just an epic failure and downfall.
Second time, you mean? Yeah.
I was just thinking in like history, you know, like somebody who just completely fell apart but kept digging. I mean, it was so literal of a metaphor. He was in too deep and just kept digging.
Might as well. All right, let's move on to our last segment.
Okay.
And here it is. We only like it if it's loud.
We only like it if it's loud. Go! I can get loud too. What the?
This is Get Loud. I was trying something different there.
Whose voice was that with Sandra?
That was me. I want to play Survivor with Sandra so I can get second place.
Okay. Well, I wish you luck in that. Yeah, don't be the one to steal victory from her. I want her to keep having a perfect record.
Me too. Okay, so this is Who Got Loud. This is like, you know, who had a great episode.
Yeah, who stood out?
You want me to go first again?
You can.
It's an obvious pick. I'm going to pick Kelly Wentworth.
Yeah, I mean, she's my pick, too. There are other people who stood out very positively.
Yeah, totally.
Joe.
Jeff. I don't know. Okay, great. He had a positive edit, but, like, is it good for his game?
Right. We don't know.
I don't think so. I want to say no, just because he...
At some point, people are going to not want to let Joey Amazing make it to the end.
Why would you?
Right.
And there's nothing he can do about that, you know?
But it has to be Kelly Wentworth. I mean, maybe we're just... It's a Carolyn situation again. I don't know. But
yeah, it could be. But you got to give it to the person who finds the idol. And not only finds the idol, but does it in like such a dramatic and hair-raising manner.
It did take some guts. I mean, we were watching it, and my wife was like, just go grab it already. Nobody's looking. I'm like, yeah, but I don't think it's... seems that easy when you're there. I think that like I'd be terrified that somebody's just gonna turn around and see me.
To be honest, I'd be terrified Jeff would just go, Kelly grabbing an idol.
No, really? That'd be funny. Kelly going for a secretive, furtive move here while the rest of her tribe is focused on the win. I mean, they actually made it fairly easy for her because when I first heard they were going to hide it in challenges, they sort of made it sound like the person will have to decide whether to help in the challenge or get the idol.
No, it was like clear that she didn't have to do anything. Nobody was doing anything except for Kelly Wigglesworth there. So.
Right. Each team just had one person at a time doing something in that portion. So, but nonetheless, she clearly is the standout from the episode. And in a way that infuriates me because I just wanted... old school and people who really made a strong impact to even be on this season. And like, I remember the way I felt when Amber was named as somebody to go on All Stars. And it was just like, what? She doesn't deserve to be there. And I bet she'll win. I remember just thinking that. And Parvati, actually, like, I felt she did deserve to be on Micronesia, but more because of her as a character.
Sure.
Like, I would, like, Amber didn't even, as a character, wasn't interesting.
Oh, I
her
agree.
First
yeah,
time.
I remember being quite surprised she was on as well.
But I also, you know, but I kind of went like, well, maybe Parvati has a chance because she's, you know, in a similar underestimated sixth place female. And so I'm just like, well, Wentworth didn't come in sixth, but like, and I really like her and I like Kelly and all her interviews that I've heard. It's just that she seems to be running away with it already. And I'm just like,
yeah, well, I mean,
it's happening again.
I don't think there's any moments where it's like obvious that she's was the winner. Like, I don't think we got anyone even remotely close to the way Mike was treated in the season premiere last season. So I'm hoping it's still a mystery, and I think it is. Like, I don't really know.
I didn't see it in Mike last season on the season premiere.
Well, remember we talked about how the way they treated him eating that scorpion just was like,
yeah, but
so
I'm
obvious.
Saying, no, you're right. You picked up on that. I did not.
Oh, well,
like
I
may have predicted Amber,
it.
But I you told me about it. I said, well, that is interesting, and that does make sense. But without you having told me about it, I wouldn't have walked away from that premiere like really thinking that Mike
right,
got
well, I didn't pick up on anything where someone was getting an uncharacteristically positive edit, even though they were doing things that were not cool in this one. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
The people who did uncool things were treated as though they were doing uncool things.
Right.
You know.
If Vetus went on to win, his yoga would be treated as heroic.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, that's the thought, right?
Like
right,
Joe's.
Scott.
Like Joe's.
Right, right. So maybe Joe wins.
The no. Joga. Joe right. might win. Your winner prediction. I hear you trying to wrap it up, but your winner prediction. I won't
season
let you.
Too early.
Your winner prediction, that's what I'm saying, of Joe in Worlds Apart may have been correct.
Yeah,
just to,
maybe I'm just
early.
Like.
And now you're so gun shy that you're convinced he
so
won't.
So does that mean Keith Nail's going to win next season?
It might. He might come back in the previously filmed season 32.
Yeah.
And win the whole thing. He just shows up.
We can only
via time machine and takes the game.
Yep. That's the hope. All right, Scott, I'm going to wrap it up because we've said it all.
Enough of this. Yes, we've said it all. And we
great
really
first episode.
Are one. Oh, we hats off to us.
I'm talking about it. The show Survivor, but also
okay.
to us.
Yeah, no, amazing. For hats off to Survivor. What a great season
yes.
premiere.
So I'm hoping that your excitement for this season carries you into wanting to find some wee hour next week to do a podcast as well.
Me too. My excitement level is pretty high. It's just, we'll see.
Yeah.
It might happen.
All right, but great.
Probably not on Thursday. That's my prediction.
All right. Okay. Well,
hey, listen, nobody cares about that. You can cut it all out if you want.
No, that's okay. Scott, is there anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I'd like to plug a Twitter account, Ryan at Ryan Elder Music. That is Ryan's
great.
Twitter.
Yeah, that's my Twitter. I don't have anything that I want to plug. No, you should check out at Scott Chernoff on Twitter as well. Also, if you want to watch what we work on, you should watch BoJack Season 2, which I finally watched your episode. It's awesome.
Thank you so much.
So good. And I'm excited for BoJack Season 3.
Thank you.
And Rick and Morty has
working
two more episodes.
On it right now. And Rick and Morty, which you score, has been having an amazing season.
It's doing well. We have two more episodes this season, and they are good. Man,
I bet. There
isn't. I don't think
they're
in them, though, are you?
No, but they're still
that's sad.
That is very sad. Well, I was in only one this season. I think I was in two last year. But it's been an amazing season. I'm not fully caught up. Everything I've seen so far has
well,
been
you know, the
incredible.
Internet didn't love the last one. Let's just say that.
Was that the improvised one?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, those are always divisive, but I love the first one, so I'm sure I'll love the next one. Yeah. But I really loved the one where the nobody cares.
Well,
the one, the implanted flashbacks.
Oh, that's my favorite episode of all time. Yeah.
That episode.
Total Recall. It's called.
Not in. Okay, Total Recall. So I'm not plugging myself there. That Rick and Morty was probably my favorite of all time as well. That was amazing.
It's great. Yeah, it's great. All right. This has been Snakes, Rats, and Goats, Season 31, Episode 2.
Season 31.
Season 31, Episode 2. We're calling our episodes exactly the same. We're referring to them as though they're the Survivor episodes.
Absolutely.
But this will be Episode 2 because, yeah, I don't know. God damn it.
You know what? Nobody cares. Just go to Netflix and watch BoJack Horseman.
And on that note, we'll talk to you later, Scott. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Ryan. Bye.
The tribe has spoken. Now I'm going to put out your little lamp with my lamp stopper.